Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. As the gentleman said, this is Straight Talk on Health. StraightTalk.cc. Get to the computer, please. I got a ton of pictures. What a week. What a month. This has been a week and a month for everybody involved. In Hollywood, they say, it comes in threes. What does that mean? Three deaths. One tragedy. July 19th. Less than a month ago, James Garner succumbs to complications of heart disease, age 86. This just past Tuesday, August 12th, Lauren Bacall, the beautiful Lauren Bacall. I put pictures of her. I had to honor that woman. 89 years old, acting till she was 89 years old. That's 60 years, 65 years in Hollywood, acting relentlessly. Not just the wife of Humphrey Bogart, but a dynamic woman, dies of a stroke, age 89. We could call that natural causes. Okay, I'll call it natural causes, but really, it's an unnatural cause to die of a stroke. And we could have done better if we had gotten the message to her. Seems Hollywood is entranced with Hollywood doctors. American Medical Association advice. Not that it's always bad, but man, did they miss the boat on number three. The tragic one. And you know his name, Robin Williams. I met Robert Williams as a young man in my early 20s. He was in his early 30s. We chatted a few times. You remember things like that. He was very serious. He was very shy. He sat across a barroom table and I poured the drinks. And that's how I met him two times with the owner of the restaurant bar whom he was friends with. I never forgot that. He had an energy about him. We're going to discuss that energy today. It's not just alcoholism and drug addiction. It's other things that took him down. And through that, I want to offer you a medical perspective. So we're not just talking about a death due to complications of depression that ultimately was termed a suicide, that was backed up by years of drug abuse, cocaine addiction, this, that, and the other thing. It's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. That's why you listen to this show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1007. Sometime during this show, a light's going to go on in your head that you need a perspective. I'm here to give you one. Watch me give it to Robin, in a sense, maybe a little bit too late. But you'll see we're working on a model. I want you to get a different model of health, a deeper understanding. So you've heard everything about his death, have you? Well, I asked 60 people in the last two or three days, 60, a full 60, clients, patients, friends, family, et cetera, if they knew something, if they connected the dots. I wonder if anybody in my audience knows what I'm about to say. What was the straw that broke the camel's back in his short life? What broke the camel's back? 2009, they cracked his chest open and did an aortic valve replacement. 2009. That's 7 years ago, 6 years ago. Open heart surgery. A valve replacement. Simple, easy, standard, effective. Life goes on better than ever. I don't think so. Why is this being overlooked? Well, it's not. If you look, if you even do something as superficial as a Google search, it'll be mentioned these things lead to depression. Bad depression. Have you ever had bad depression? I'm not talking about you were in a little fender bender, and it's your fault. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something heavy. Don't you feel swept away? Swept away. Like you could have pulled the trigger. How many of you have gotten up in the morning at least once or twice in your life and really wondered whether it was worth getting up? You can't be that different than the people I talk to behind the desk each week. And on that basis, I think you can relate. Only Mr. Williams got pushed over the edge. You know how you get pushed over the edge? Have somebody crack your chest open. Have somebody saw it open. Okay. Okay. You had to. We had no choice. His aortic valve went bad. He would have died. It's a cost-benefit thing. But you tell me this. You tell me this. Of course, I'm going to tell you this. So you have to be on the website. If you're driving, of course, you can't be when you get home. Get on straighttalk.cc. For those of you who are not computer literate, take the leap, please. Get on the website so I can show you the article. Top of the website. Click to view full article on Robin Williams' prognosis. I want you to read this. This is something else. I'll give you 2 seconds. Hopefully you've got a good speed. You can get the article up fast. Robin Williams' heart surgery. What's the prognosis? March 6, 2009. Not too long ago. By Dan Childs. Read that. Simply stated, yes, personal history of alcoholism, a family history of heart failure, so they should have known it was in the family. The valve was coming. I would have seen it. In a sense, even in my early 20s, I saw that organ bleeding when he sat across the bar and had a couple of drinks. Quiet, shy, just like they said. Quiet, shy, somewhat detached with that beautiful sparkle in his eyes, and then boom, on a couple of glasses, he gets lit off, and he starts his antics. That was Robin Williams. Listen to what this article says. Robin Williams will likely emerge safely from his upcoming heart surgery. Heart doctors agree. In a statement Thursday, let's move down. Of course, they mentioned Barbara Bush underwent the same surgery. She's doing just great. Always got to have a politician and a star doing the same thing, right? Angelina Jolie cuts her breasts off because she's positive for one of the genetic markers for cancer, and everybody else should do it. And we've got the whole political scientific system behind it. Here's another one. Barbara Bush did it. She's fine. Robin Williams is going to do it, and he's going to be fine, except he's not going to be fine. The prognosis is actually quite good, assuming that the procedure is limited to the aortic valve, says Dr. Timothy Gardner. No small opinion here. Dr. Timothy Gardner, president of the American Heart Association and medical director of the Center for Heart and Vascular Health for the Christiana Care Health System. In someone who is healthy, despite being in their late 50s, there is a very low operative risk of failure, death, or complications. Richard Sheeman, chief of division of cardiothoracic surgery at UCLA's David Geffen School of Medicine, blah, blah, blah. Everybody said he'd just be fine. How could they say that? How? How can you say that? How can you say that? That is myopia. That is short-sightedness. That is ridiculous. That is a crock. Once again, we've been crocked. That heart surgery is famous for depression. And to a man that's already suffered from chronic depression, and nobody sees that coming? Okay, that's what they tell the public. Hey, wait a second. You're the public. And if Robin did it, and it's just effective, and the prognosis is great, then you're going to do it. You see, it's not okay to do that. At least you don't say that. Not like that. You die from your lies. He was bound to get pushed over the top. Oh, nonsense. No, it had nothing to do with that. He had financial problems. He had alcoholism. He had cocaine addiction. He was in and out of rehab, and that's it. No, you're not getting the point. Well, somebody got the point. Somebody got the point out there. I'll tell you why. Click to view the full article on heart bypass cognitive disorders. Heart bypass cognitive disorders. Just click that up. Take a peek at that. Why does it take rocket science to know these things ahead of time? I don't see why. There it is. The New England Journal of Medicine. You didn't have to look far. 2001, well before his bypass, his aortic valve replacement. Longitudinal assessment of the neurocognitive function after coronary bypass surgery. Include valvular replacement. Include valvular replacement. Same thing. Absolutely the same thing. As far as this is concerned. Look at the top paragraph, first page. Top paragraph, first page. Cognitive decline has increasingly been recognized as a complication after cardiac surgery. Blah, blah, blah. You know why? It's called the heart-lung machine. Check the other article I put on there. Click to view the full article on the heart-lung machine dangers. Go ahead, give yourself a spin on that one. If you can't keep up, that's okay. Why? It's on the archives, straighttalk.cc, for a nominal cost, 170 shows. That's 170 hours of stuff you are not going to hear. You can hear it in little bits and pieces, but you're not going to hear anybody put it together like I can put it together. And that's the whole point. Once you put it together, once you get the Robin Williams profile, you can understand how degeneration really occurs. There ain't no it's here. It's not his genetics. It's not his tendency to depression. It's not the alcohol. It's not the cocaine. It's not the heart-lung machine. It's not the valvular replacement. It's not this week was a bad full moon. What about that? Why don't we put it on the full moon? Did you see the size of the moon this week? It's the biggest moon of the year. Maybe the biggest moon in the last decade. Maybe it was the moon. You see, this is where we become neutered, watered down. You got to put it together. You got to put it together to get the profile. And when there's enough that adds up, somebody's going to get hurt. And that's the way you have to see it. It's the way you have to see it for yourself. But we don't put articles in medical journals because we have spare time and nothing to do. We put them in medical journals because we mean it. So what were they talking about? What was Dr. Gardner talking about stating in 2007 that these things are just hunky-dory, very effective, nothing to fret about? Just a standard routine procedure. Barbara Bush had it done. How would Barbara Bush know? She must have been about 90 when she had it done. How do you measure cognitive decline in someone that's 90 half the time? You see, this guy was 57 when it happened. This guy had to perform. This guy had to continue to be Robin Williams. This guy had, if you profiled him, to put it out there on the chopping block every single day of his life. This was no... This was a heavyweight. This was Robin Williams. He could make us laugh. He could make us cry. He could make our heads spin. He could talk faster than three of us put together. This was a demigod. So how do you turn around and say, no sweat, just a standard procedure? I can forgive it only for one thing. At the time of this surgery, we had no better technique. We do today. We have better technique today. But we didn't have better technique back then. Today, again, hope you're on the website and functional by now. Click to view full article on aortic valve evolution, new minimally invasive heart procedure coming to blah blah blah. Just click that for a minute. Any of you being told you're headed for one of these, first of all, get the human valve, maybe get the pig valve. Do not get that titanium valve. You're never going to be happy again. Forget your sex life. It's bad. Forget the titanium valve. Don't opt for that. Go for the pig valve. Go for the human valve. Go for the new stuff. We're making great, great, great inroads here. Here's beauty. Aortic valve evolution. New minimally invasive heart procedure. Severe aortic stenosis is a progressive age-related disease. So I'm going to get into this for a little while, not too long. I got more important stuff to give to you, my friends. However, I'm going to get into this a little bit. I want you to understand a little bit about this valve stuff, all right? Good time to get the valve stuff in. Heart's got four valves, tricuspid, pulmonic, mitral, and aortic. Those valves don't open, and we call that stenosis, or after they shut, they leak. They don't shut. The backlash of blood pressure into the valve, if the valve isn't fully shut, is termed regurgitation. Sometimes valves are regurgitant, sometimes they're stenotic. Guess what Robin had, if you want to guess. Of course, it's going to be stenotic. Why? The cocaine, the booze, ate the valve, a new lining. In other words, it scarred the valve. That valve was going towards stenosis. I'm going to show you a few pictures of stenotic aortic valves so you can get a real understanding. Back then, you had to replace the valve, so you had to blast the chest open. You had to slice it open with a saw. Not good. No choice. You can forgive it. You can forgive it. Not much choice. Today we have a choice. But I'm going to take it somewhere else. I'm not going to leave you on that one. Bypass surgery, the Bill Clinton surgery. You see what has happened to Bill? Forget politics. That was a handsome, vibrant, middle-aged man. Look at him now. What is it, 10, 12, 14 years? That's a lot of aging in 12, 14 years. That's what happens when you get those bypass surgeries. They're bad. And they're avoidable. And you can see them coming. And there are options. I've done a couple of shows. What show number, I can't remember. But go back, cardiac profile. I did a couple of shows. Show 129, show 130 in that arena. There's options. But let's talk valve. I want you to get hip to the valves. I brought you to this article because if you're up for a valve replacement, severe aortic stenosis is a progressive age-related disease caused by, there it is, calcium deposits. I can't offer you a free bottle of Carl because that's calcium. It would just be too gauche. So I'm not gonna. Calcium deposits. That should ring a bell in your head. If you've listened to this show more than 10 times, which most of you, many of you have, calcium deposits, you're precipitating. There's so much free radical damage. Those valves are so eaten away, you're going to get calcium deposits. Why Robin's heart? That's the next part of the show. But let's just understand, right now, we have this new repair. The FDA is approved. Now check this out. Only for patients who can't have surgery the other way. I love that. Well, that's breaking down. The truth is these non-invasive valve replacements are being done increasingly on everybody. If you're on the cusp, pardon the pun, if you're on the cusp and you're up for a surgery and they're going to crack your chest and replace it the old way from this day on, from the day you heard this show, do not do it. Pass on it. Get the other one. It's a couple of stipulations. Your arteries have to be relatively clear. They have to be wide enough to accommodate this tube that's going to go up in through your coronary arteries to replace the valve. There's a couple of requirements, but most people can have it done. Of course, Europe is ahead on this. Other parts of the world aren't as regulated, so they jump into the fray first, and if somebody dies, there's less blowback. But in America, the way it works now, we got to be very careful. We are a litigious society, among other things. And so on that basis, it's not really super approved yet if you can do the old surgery. And they didn't have it in 2009. But we got it now. Do it now. Study this article. I'm going to leave you with it. This is the one to get. This is the one I'd get. This is the one to recommend. This is the one to wait for. This is the one to push. This is the one to go to another country for. Yeah, believe it or not, there are good doctors elsewhere. Let's have a couple of pictures. All right, you're on the website. There's Robin, picture number one. Yes, my pictures are numbered this week. Thank you. Look at him. Look at that face. See, the nose is a little red there. That's heart disease. See that scar? If you can't see that scar in picture number one, look at picture number two. Believe it or not, picture number two, that's a big Russian guy. Picture number two, that's some Russian guy. That's a massive scar on a fairly young man. You see, maybe he can handle it. But you see, Robin was vulnerable. That's why he was genius. He felt everything. We're going to get to that dynamic and what that dynamic means in terms of why it happened to him. He just can't break open a guy's chest like that. It's costly. It has repercussions. No, you don't give somebody some Xanax. You don't give somebody a mood enhancer. It doesn't really work that well. You got to reach a lot deeper after you get a bypass surgery. What's wrong? What happens? It's the heart-lung machine. Read the article. The heart-lung machine, it keeps you, well, it allows you to perfuse to keep you alive. But what happens is that emboli form, little air emboli for a multitude of reasons. And there's all sorts of techniques around that. And your surgeon, you need to talk to him about the best techniques. And you need to have him compare it to the older techniques. And make sure everybody's up to date. Because we're sort of in transition on this one. Yeah, right. There are a lot of people getting these valvular replacements with older machines. It's not like it's the wave yet. It will be. Don't get caught on the wrong side of the fence. Read that article on the air lung machine. Grill your cardiovascular surgeon. Grill them. Get on it. Be informed. Those two scars, there they are. Now, I want you to go down to picture number 13. Go to picture number 13. Let's look at a heart sliced wide open. There it is. Great picture. Heart sliced wide open. And what are we looking at? Those little white stringy things, those are the valves. So, no, they're in there. And what do the valves do? Well, when the blood goes from the right atrium to the right ventricle, down to the lung, back to the left atrium, into the left ventricle, and then you pump it out. It goes pumped out through the arterial system, comes back through the venous system, dumps through the superior and inferior vena cava into the right atrium. Then it goes through the tricuspid valve to the right ventricle, out the pulmonic valve to the lungs, back into the left atrium, through the mitral, through the left atrium, and then from the left atrium it goes into the mitral valve, and from the mitral valve into the left ventricle, and from the left ventricle out the aortic valve. So you got four valves, you got four chambers, you've got the deoxygenated blood picking up oxygen in the lung, and blah blah. Point. Those valves better open. And once they shut, they better stay shut. Robin's problem, most likely, tough to find out exactly, almost definitely, that valve was stenotic. It didn't open because it was calcified. So let's look at picture 14. Take a look at that nice picture. You can blow it up if you need to. Picture number 14. You're looking at four valves. Two of those valves are closed. The aortic valve and the pulmonic valve are closed, while the mitral valve and the tricuspid valve are open. Very, very simple. Suppose the reverse of that. When the aortic valve opens just before the left ventricle contracts and sends blood, suppose it didn't blow open. Suppose it was calcified. Suppose it was free radical damaged, scarred up, and then the calcium that was in the blood precipitated out of the blood and started to stick to the valve, and the valve became stenotic. And that's the concept here. He had a stenotic valve. He had a stenotic valve because the cocaine and the drug abuse and the alcohol abuse at one point threw off his blood chemistry. And so he was proposed to precipitation. Look at picture 15. Don't bother blowing it up. You've seen that before. Those are crystals in a test tube. That means that clear liquid starts growing crystals. Crystals precipitate out of clear liquid. So the blood precipitates calcium hydroxyapatite, which sticks to the valve. And someone that's living a life where there's going to be a great deal of oxidative free radical damage is going to accelerate that process all over the body. But why Robin's heart? We're going to get to that in a second. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Not this Sunday, next Sunday, I'm doing the second of my exercise depositions, my exercise seminars. We did one last Sunday, absolutely fantastic. Everybody joining hands in a deeper way, learning more. I love it. Two openings left for this class coming. Serious people apply. 7-8 straight hours, lots of fun. You'll learn much. As a preview, listen to the show I did a few weeks ago on the secrets of exercise, whenever that was. We're going to expound on that for a good 6, 7, maybe 8 straight hours. Questions, everything. Weights, weighted vests. Burst training, lots of terms you've always been fuzzy about. Yeah, had he been under my advice, we would have done some burst training together. We would have done a lot of things together. We would have gotten those endorphins flowing. We're going to get to that. I'm jumping ahead. Right now, we're talking about a calcified valve. So take a look at picture number 11. Can you get picture number 11 up? Take a look at what it says, aortic valve stenosis. So look up top, picture 11, normal aortic valve. It's open, then on the right side it's completely shut. Then on the bottom, a stenotic valve, they're trying to draw all that sort of white gristle in there. Those little marks that aren't on the top, those are calcifications. The valve calcifies. And this is the point. That valve was replaced because of calcium deposition. That doesn't mean don't take your ionized calcium. It means run a blood chemistry. Listen to my show on precipitation and disease. It's one of the past shows, precipitation and disease. Again, central key concepts explaining major events. Don't wait till the 15th round after the knockout punch is thrown and you're down on the wrong end of the punch. Get it early. Get where you're going. Everybody's going to die of two or three things. Think of Uncle Louie and Uncle Harry. Think of Uncle Mike. It was only that one thing that got him, or he'd be 100 years old right now, but that one thing. James Garner, heart disease. A guy that healthy, Indian blood no less, if he hadn't gotten heart disease, a massive heart attack, successive heart attacks and strokes, dies at 86 anyway. You're talking 120. Who cares, right? It's quality of life. Right. You have a valve replaced at 57 years old. You lose quality of life. You have open heart surgery at 65 years old. You lose quality of life. So you've got to get your profile. Catch that cancer 10 years before you've got cancer. Catch that stroke 10 years before you have a stroke. If you work with people, not just me, anybody that knows how to do this, they're going to tell you what's coming down the pipe. And they're going to counsel you to help you negotiate with your body so your body's real mechanisms can put these concerns to rest. That's what holistic health is about. That's what we're not doing. Here's another classic example of it. Man, if you couldn't see this coming a mile away, I don't know what to say, honestly. And all the focus on heart disease and alcohol and this and that. No. Let me keep going. So there's a calcified valve, precipitation and disease, and replaced and should have been replaced with the new surgery, but they didn't have that again. Why is that relevant to you? If you're headed for congestive heart failure, if you're headed, there's nothing to replace cracking your chest open now. The scarring that's involved. Look at those scars on picture 1 and 2. You think that's just in the skin? You're not thinking. You got to think here. That's not the skin. They cut you through the skin, through the fascia, through the bone. Underneath, they cut through the fascia around the heart. It's all torn up in there. And when they sew it up and glue it back together, the internal constriction of the entire fascial system destroys you. Not to mention the heart-lung machine, sending strokes, gazillions of mini-strokes up to your brain. I know, this is just my opinion. No one's ever heard of this before. It's only what I'm saying today and what's in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's everywhere. I didn't hear it in Dr. Gardner's plea that day. I didn't hear people talking about it back in 2009. No. It happens, and it's mentioned maybe in the aftermath. 0 for 60 on the people I spoke to today. And this is, you can apply this to everything. Education always to the rescue. All right. Enough with that. Let's understand this from another angle. Let's get another angle on this game. Picture number 10. Take a look at picture number 10. Blow it up if you need to. That's control plus. Let's do a little control plus. Blow it up if you like, or blow it up another way. There we have it. Now look at that heart. You're looking at the heart. Great. Now, that white sheath over that heart, the white sheath over that heart is called the pericardium. What is that dome-shaped, very thin, it looks like a flank steak, that very thin left to right on the bottom sheath of muscle underneath the heart? That's the diaphragm. See how they pull the lungs back? Above it is, that might be the thymus gland or fat. I'm not sure. I think that's the thymus gland above the heart. Way up at the top of that picture is the thyroid gland. That's the right and left subclavian vein. That's the right and left carotid vein. So on and so forth. Take that picture in. The heart, that gray shiny stuff, that's the pericardium. That's fascia. That's connective tissue. It's glued to the diaphragm. You see how it's tied into the diaphragm? That picture there is not just a coincidence. That picture there shows that the pericardium is tied into the diaphragm. Now, hold that one in your mind's eye and take a look at the diaphragm. Let's look at the diaphragm. Let's do this. Just don't blow it up, but take a look at picture 18, picture 17. That's the diaphragm viewed from underneath, down from your feet looking up. Look at picture 20. Again, so don't blow these up now so you can see them all next to each other. You're looking at that column, 17, 18, and 20. Look at the diaphragm now. It's a dome. Those big holes in it, they're holds for the aorta, holds for the esophagus. You can pull that dome out, and then you can't breathe anymore. Put that dome back in, tie it to the underside of your ribs, and you're back in business, good as new. Now, the center of that dome. Look at 17 and 18. You see that white sort of area? That is connective tissue. That's called the central tendon. Tendon of the diaphragm. The central tendon of the diaphragm. That's a big deal. Go feel the back of your foot. The Achilles tendon. Go feel those tendons in the back of your knee. Go feel those tendons in the wrist. Go feel those tendons. Those tendons are ropey. Those tendons can hold a lot of weight. Those tendons don't break. It's hard to break a tendon. Those tendons are tough. The central tendon of the diaphragm. Do you know what happens to the diaphragm when you take a breath? If you don't, I put a beautiful picture in here just for you. Go to picture number. Oh, I'm lost in picture land. Where is that picture? Yeah, there we go. Oh boy, the picture shakes. Did my tech not put that picture in? Well, I'm sure it's there. What direction? It's picture number 7. Go to picture number 7. Look at picture number 7. What happens when the diaphragm, when you take an inhalation? When you take an inhalation, the diaphragm goes which way? Well, look. Lungs fill, diaphragm lowers. When you inhale, the diaphragm goes down. What is sitting on top of the diaphragm? As you inhale and the lungs go down, Your diaphragm goes down. What's sitting on your diaphragm? What's stuck to your diaphragm? Your heart. In other words, that heart is expanded and contracted. That heart is stretched. That heart is put through the bathrobe wringer. It's put through the swimsuit wringer. It's squeezed like a sponge every time you inhale and exhale. That's the natural mechanism. And if you're really fluid with breath, hit a couple of my shows on the power of breath. If you're really fluid with breath, that heart expands and contracts. As you breathe down, that heart gets pulled into expansion. As you exhale, that heart contracts. I'm not talking about something you think you're doing. I'm talking about trained breath. I'm talking about Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, Pilates. I'm talking about opera. I'm talking about Lama's breath. I just got stoned on air. I just did it. I just felt my heart relax. I just felt my shoulder blades stretch out. I just got a little high taking a trained breath. Do you know what the possibility is? Do you know what the possibility is of somebody doing that after they've had their heart cracked open? It's almost zero. That's number one. Why? Because to breathe like that, you have to expand the chest. How are you going to get around those fascial scars? That's number one. Number two, if you can't breathe that deep, you can't get your endorphins. Number three, I'm going to go back on these. Number three, Robin Williams was a very special kind of guy. He was a very special kind of guy. Go to the bottom of this. Do it. Go to the YouTube on the bottom, the best of Robin Williams. It's going to take us a minute. Do it. Just click it on. Click it on. I'm going to lower my radio. And you just look. You keep yours on and just look at him. Look at him with Fonzie. That's Mork and Mindy years ago. After Mork and Mindy, I'll have to speed it up. Oh, you got to catch him on Johnny Carson. This is his opening day on Johnny Carson. There's Good Morning Vietnam. I mean, look at this guy. There's Popeye. You don't have to be in sync with me. Just let the thing roll. I think this is Peter Pan. This is the Peter Pan one. Amblin Entertainment. Look at this guy roll. Think of this guy. Think of this guy. He meant something to us. Comedians mean something to us. Artists mean something to us. There's when he played Mrs. Doubtfire. Then he's dancing on the stage. This guy was a maniac. He was beautiful. You know what he was filled with? He was filled with love. And he was filled with sadness. Sadness and love, they tend to go hand in hand. I loved him in The Fisher King. I loved him in that Matt Damon flick. I didn't like Mork and Mindy. He could do so many things. He was only 63. He's not here. Why did it go after his heart? Okay, here's where the show really begins. Why did this go after his heart? Because everybody's got an organ that they spend a lot more time with. Some people spend a lot more time in fear. Some people spend a lot more time in grief. Takes out the lung. Some people spend a lot more time in fear. It takes out the adrenal kidney system. Some people spend a lot more time in worry. We say that goes after the digestive system. Some people spend a lot more time in anger. Goes after the liver. Some people spend a lot more time in indecision and frustration. Goes after the gallbladder. Some people feel the depth of sadness. In everybody. Some people feel it so deeply they can't even look at you, but they hear everything. I can tell you for a fact, Robin Williams was that way. He was empathic. It's one of the things that made him great. He felt everything. He felt the truth of everything. And then he turned it, with his God-given talent, into brilliant, genius-level humor. He told the truth by making people laugh and making people cry. And what that means functionally is, if you're going to run a high titer of free radicals, I want you to get this. I want my audience to get this. If you're going to run a high titer, a high amount of free radical through your system, it's going to go first and foremost to the place in your body that's got the most static charge. Static. Where you're occupied emotionally is where you're going to have your weak link. If it's anger, you're going to go to the liver. If it's indecision, you're going to go to the gallbladder. If it's worry, it's going to go to the GI tract. That's a concept. The emotional body, the neuroendocrine system, direct the free radical. They direct it. They tell it where to go. They tell it where to concentrate. Bad things like free radicals from cocaine always go after the weak link. The weak link is driven by the neuroendocrine, psychoneuroendocrinological system. I'm slowing down so you can take that in. There's a relationship between emotion and disease. It's just not simply a nutritional precipitation problem. It's not just cocaine abuse. It's not just the air, heart, lung machine. It's everything together. But why that heart? You see? That's the psyche. He was already halfway there. Depressed at what people say. How could he be depressed? He was worth $50 million at one time. What does he have to complain about? You see, you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, we've all done that. He's famous. He's this. He's that. He's rich. You can't do that. You get in there. I mean, you may have a lot of money. You may have a lot of fame. You may have a lot of wonderful things, but that doesn't mean you're not tortured. And you don't have to be a genius to be tortured. You can be tortured because you suffer. And he was suffering through the heart from a sensitivity that was exquisite. So he's going to build tension in that organ. You know what the heart is in Chinese medicine? The heart is the mind. Did you know that? The heart is the mind in Chinese medicine. That depression came from a broken heart. He felt the pain of the world. It's what made him great. It's what took him down. It's what needed to be tempered in the opposite direction. He needed an education. When Robert goes to his doctor is supposed to tell him who he is and where he's going to falter and then train him. See, health is a training. Holistic medicine has it wrong. Allopathic medicine, they're missing it by a galaxy. Okay, no problem. Trauma medicine, no problem. You got one day, you're in ER, you're on your way. There's no choice. I'm thankful, you're thankful. End of conversation. I'm talking about the elegant medicine. I'm talking about the king's medicine. I'm talking about preventing this from happening. That's the purpose of doctor. That's the purpose of whatever you want to call it. That's the purpose of natural law, to direct you to where you're going to get hit. Robin Williams was super gifted. He was a super gifted man. Some people have two antennas. Robin Williams had 50 antennas. And those antennas were taking it all in, whether he was straight, whether he was drunk, whether he was happy, whether he was suicidal. He couldn't stop it from coming in. And then he'd go into his own world, Robin's world. Mork and Mindy, you know, his debut, so to speak, wasn't really far off. You know, I never even saw Mork and Mindy. I didn't like the show. But I know he was like from another planet or something. I knew enough and had the privilege of meeting him briefly twice. In a very obscure way, but nonetheless, you could take somebody in. I mean, I watched him for a good 5-6 hours both times. He was from another planet. He needed special training. Special training for what? Picture number 21. Picture number 21. Opiates. Opiates act on many places in the brain and nervous system. Opiates can change the brainstem. This is picture number 21. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on this website. Look at the pictures. They tell the story. Opiates act on many places in the brain and nervous system. Opiates can change the brainstem, an area that controls automatic body functions and depresses breathing. It slows it down. Opiates can change the limbic system, which controls emotions. Breath makes opiates. Changes the emotional system. Robin Williams needed endorphins. Robin Williams was manic depressive. So are you. All of us can relate to mania, and all of us can relate to depression. It just matters how much mania you need to get through your day. Robin Williams needed a lot of mania. He was a maniac. That's what that really derives from. The need to live at the God level. The need to live in a state of euphoria. The need to keep those endorphins pumping. And that's what performance is. That's what artistic delivery is about. I'm doing it right now. This is my little piece of mania. And after this, maybe I'll get a little depressed. And that's what artists do. They all do it. Anybody doing anything, looking to make their masterpiece in their little moment, is up there flying high, looking to have that opiate experience. They're looking for the Jesus experience. They're looking to feel God. And then there's the downside. And if you surf big waves, you fall hard. That defines the heavyweight. You know what you got to do with a heavyweight? You got to train a heavyweight. You got to train a heavyweight to be a heavyweight. If you're born a heavyweight and you surf 90-foot waves, you got to train to surf 90-foot waves or you're going to die. This ought to be in the schools. This is what doctors should tell you. And then supply the training. That's what medicine is. I'll define it as such. It's my medicine. It's what defines me. It's what I hope you're hip to. This is 3 years of this show. That's 170 hours. That's a lot of hours. There's a lot of stuff we pack into these shows. Most essentially, it comes down to this. Robin Williams should have been taken and trained. Trained so that his maniacal potential could be filled. Filled to the point where the downside wasn't so bad. Because the truth is, all the fame and all the fortune and all the people that were after him and all the people told him he was great, I can tell you for a fact, much to the surprise of many, it means nothing to a lot of these people. Nothing. While you're telling him this, that, and the other thing, they are beating themselves to a pulp. They're beating themselves to death. Their best moment, save those moments, like you fall in love. Save those moments, the birth of your child. Save some of those big heavyweight moments. Those moments outside of the moment when they deliver the climax line, the knockout punch, the crescendo of the song or the joke. When the laughter is so loud that people are crying, they're laughing so hard. Aside from that, man, it's a downer. That's what it is to have that level of talent. And a lot of you in the audience, you can relate to that on different levels. You may not be slotted for slitting your wrists or asphyxiating yourself, but you can relate. I want you to wrap your mind around how to look at you. If you can do that, you can heal. Now, these concepts have been broached over the years. Taking super gifted kids, identifying them so they don't get depressed, so they just stay in mania. There's nothing wrong with mania. If you can live 16 out of 24 hours of the day talking to God and sleep the other eight, you're going to have a good life. Your decisions should come from mania. We got to revisit the word maniac. Because by no means maniac means unfit for human consumption. We should all be maniacs. Because if you're a maniac, you know how to get the endorphins flowing. But you have to master that act. The website, as always, straighttalk.cc to the rescue. Last picture, picture 38. Go to picture 38. Take a look at picture 38. Robert Assagioli. Look at picture number 39. There's Robert Assagioli, name on the bottom, collection of his basic writings. Robert Assagioli, MD, medical doctor. He was a psychiatrist. He was a protege of Freud. He was around back then. He had a different opinion. He wasn't going to label Robin Williams bipolar. They called Robin Williams bipolar. That's disgusting. That is disgusting. Oh, yes, geniuses. They tend to be manic depressive. They tend to be bipolar. They tend to have ADD. They tend to be paranoid, schizophrenic. They tend to be obsessive compulsive. All their eccentricities have ICD codes, and we need these ICD codes so insurance will pay for their meds. This is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's not Christian. It's immoral. It's stupid. And it has nothing to do with science. Nothing. And yet we have to forgive. We have to forgive the people that use these terms because they know not what they do. They don't have the depth. But terming someone like Robin Williams bipolar, manic depressive, you see, this is not the concept. Assagioli understood this. He understood that the Freudian stuff, which was it was genius in his day. I mean, Freud effectively was every one of his diagnoses. Obsessive-compulsive, definitely. Most of your shrinks are, on one level or another. The point is, you have to connect to that spiritual side, looking to have the God experience. And then you have to relate and work around the downside. Thomas Paine, as ye rise, so shall ye fall. Point being, the downside of the endorphin rush is hard. Assagioli said people like that, the super gifted, had to be trained. That's what that was about. There's a book there, picture number 37, The Psychology of Discipleship by Douglas Baker. It talks about olden times when these things were understood. It talks about olden times when you would basically take somebody like a Robin Williams, like a Mozart, like a Vincent van Gogh, like that kid down the street, like you listening to the show right now, and give them a perspective. I submit to you that picture number 36, that's the ventricular system of the brain. I submit to you that that ventricular system flutters. I submit to you that that ventricular system has its own currency. I submit to you it has its own frequency. I submit to you when that ventricular system flutters enough, your hypothalamus gland through the pituitary will deliver a level of opiates into the blood and you will talk to God, DMT included. Dynorphin, endorphin, enkephalin. I submit to you that people like Robin Williams from the time they're babies have to be taught this way. John Belushi, George Carlin. I submit to you that anybody that's ever prematurely pulled the trigger needed that kind of education. And if it doesn't come through our schools, it needs to come through our medical system. I submit to you. You have a lot to wrap your head around today. Because I shed a tear, and so did you. That hurt. It really hurt. The East, Chinese, ancient Middle East, ancient. Let's forget about now. Now is a mess. now is an absolute chaos. But from days of old, we understood how to create endorphins in the body. We understood that. We understood how to train our bodies. Again, Medici is going to repeat himself. Clean the blood, stretch the tendons, cross-fiber out the scars like Robin's scar from open heart surgery, and deal with the psyche. Learn to take your flow, your endorphins, to the traffic jam. Learn to take your endorphins to the day, Monday morning. Learn to take your endorphins to the bargaining table. Learn to take your endorphins to the deposition. Learn to take your endorphins to that harsh conversation you're going to have about that relationship that isn't working. Take the better side of yourself. Lincoln called it the better angles of human nature. What he meant in his Civil War prehistoric levels was take your connection to God. In the physiology of the body, that connection to God means let the chi flow. It means feel the prana. It means pump up the endorphins. Whether you get it from exercise, whether you get it from yoga, whether you get it from prayer, make sure you get it. Make sure you're not just talking it. Don't kid yourself about this, you see, because it's harsh. Reality can be harsh. We all know the harshness at moments of reality. Make sure you got some weapons. Make sure your kids are training the right way, because the world can be harsh. Got ya. Amazing. Talent. Talents to be translated into endorphins. Endorphins to be translated into the courtroom. Into the traffic jam. Endorphins are to be translated and used as tools to pull you out of your own personal crucifixion. Listen to this show again and again and again. It's the most important show I've ever done. And I think I'm going to thank Robin Williams for it. I thank you, Robin. Those twinkly, beautiful eyes. That heart as big as the sea. At least we can learn this. See you guys next week. You need to get your head on straight. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Don't forget, two more serious students for the classroom. God bless you. See you next week. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.